listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It is Series 10, Episode 16, coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners are Bar One Bet. And Gary, how's it going?
All good. Not too bad at all. How are you after your little trip away?
Yeah, great trip to Mersey, I have to say. A couple of days of sun, whereas I'm sat here next to... Next to one of those old plug-in heaters at the moment, trying to stay warm. So back to reality, I'm afraid.
Yeah, back to reality is right. It's never too far away.
No.
What did you make of Mercia?
Yeah, I suppose it's probably not a whole pile to see and do. Lovely cathedral. But aside from a couple of heavy nights on the sauce now, there wasn't much culture took in, really. But no, nice place, very friendly locals, easy to get around, safe. Good weather, as I said. And... I know people have probably seen this on my own social account, but I have to say that's my first time traveling solo to an Ireland game, and I'd have absolutely no hesitation in doing it again. It was a really good experience. Bumped into loads of great people across the few days. Bumped into a lot of podcast listeners. A few asking where Gary Riley was, particularly a few Bows fans wanted to know why you hated them so much. But no, a great trip, and lots of familiar faces seen and lots of new ones met as well. So that's always good. So looking forward to Kosovo now in September. Won't get to Canada, unfortunately.
No, I'd say there'll be something around the same. Not many going to Canada, but fair play to you if you do. But yeah, no, definitely looking forward to Kosovo. You know, it'll be another kind of left field country to tick off the list.
Tell you what, I'm actually looking forward to this Qatar friendly in a couple of weeks, because I enjoyed seeing so many new faces on the pitch on Saturday in Mercia. Obviously, the one player I was really looking forward to seeing was Jack Moylan, and he didn't disappoint me. He got a hat-trick, and I was actually talking to somebody in the airport on Sunday coming back. We were just talking about what players did well, etc., etc. I was talking to someone that knew Jack Moylan since he was a kid and had watched him play football all the way up, and he said, oh, do you know, I was delighted for Jack, but he played crap. he thought he had a terrible game. He just said, look, he's had such a long season, you could tell he was knackered, but he could have had another few goals. He probably could have had four or five, Jack Moylan. But he's definitely put his name in the ring, obviously, for upcoming for the Nations League and the like. But yeah. Are you gonna ask me why he's not in the next squad?
No,
just what were you gonna ask?
Well, as you know, this squad featured the, you know, some players that got on the magic plane. do you think that, like, did you see, and I know, like, the caliber of opponent wasn't really there. So,
oh yeah, Dundalk would have bet these boys, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, 5-0 is no surprise. Probably a bit, probably underwhelming with the first half result. But would you say that there is definitely players that are throwing their hat in the ring legitimately from what you saw?
Yeah, but particularly second half players came on. The first half was dire. Now, it was very hot. Even the fans, we were really struggling in the first half. We were sitting in the baking sunshine, and like, it was just a very flat performance. We had absolutely no width. Wingers would not take on fullbacks, just kept passing inside, a lot of balls back to centre halves. It was rubbish, really, to be honest. And then the likes of Will Ferry came on and gave us real width. Obviously, Tom Cannon come on and got a couple of goals. But Ferry was the one that really caught my eye, I have to say, in the second half. I thought he offered us a lot. But it was great to even see lads like Edu Amaku come on. I probably haven't seen him since Longford played in Talla in the Premier Division in 2021.
Yeah.
So to see him come on, he's really bulked up, which often seems to happen when the Irish lads go across to England. Good to see him come on. Look, there was loads of good performances, but the one that really, really stood out for me was definitely Will Ferry.
Right. Well, that's obviously great. Hopefully, you know, we have a couple of new lads coming through. I'm not necessarily saying that we need them, that we're, you know, dying for stuff, but yeah, it's good to see that there are boys in the periphery that can throw their hat in the ring for a spot.
Yeah, people wondering why the likes of Moylan are in the Qatar squad. Basically, they'd already decided on that squad before this game. the likes of Moylan and lads that have had a long club season, they need a break. So it's good to see. The reason I'm so excited is because, again, we're going to see another batch of new faces, including four League of Ireland players. Conor Brann, which is an interesting one, but more so to the point, Ed McGinty. Now, whether they get any game minutes, we'll have to wait and see. But you'd be hoping Dawson Devoy and Adam Brennan might see some minutes possibly. But great to see them in the squad. It does definitely add a new dimension to it because it's not something we've really seen before.
Yeah, certainly. Look, it's good that they're in the camp or whatever can, take on that role of being in the camp and seeing what it's like and all the rest of it. So hopefully we have, put forward a few boys that can make a contribution in the coming years.
Is there anyone in that squad from a League of Ireland perspective that you're really surprised is in there? And is there anyone that you're really surprised isn't in that squad?
Well, you sounded surprised by Conor Brann.
I think that's just one. We've seen it before with like James Talbot getting called into training camps. I think it's just probably to make up numbers in training.
Carry water.
Don't mean to be disrespectful to the lad, but he's a first division goalkeeper, so I don't think we'll be seeing a whole pile of him.
Yeah.
Great honour for him and even for Cork City to have a player in an international squad, but. Adam Brennan had an amazing start to the season. I think it fell nicely for him that I think Heimir was at a couple of the games early in the year in Tala and he really stood out. He seems to have gone off the boil in the last couple of weeks, but he's a very young player, so no harm in having a look at him. I suppose you'd wonder if he's in there, why is Victor Ozimbuna not in there?
Maybe isn't Victor Ozimbuna, what age is he? Didn't we have this conversation?
Adam Brennan's only a teenager as well.
Yeah, no, I know that. I'm just saying, like,
Adam's 18. I think Victor's only 17, isn't he?
Yeah, like, I'm not saying that, we have the magic playing, but we have the magic birthday as well either. But it's just more like Heimer addressed this already, didn't he? A few weeks ago.
I think he kind of hinted the next natural progression would be the 21s, but you would have thought the same for Adam as well.
Here's the other one.
Oh, Dawson Devoy's obviously picks himself. I think that's probably fair enough, really.
Yeah. Cool. So good time had by all.
Yeah, not looking forward to it. Away from the international team, did we last night see the worst penalty decision in the history of the League of Ireland down in Waterford?
God, no. No, I'd say Pico Lopez has a few of them under his belt, personally.
It was up there though, wasn't it?
It was up there. Wasn't a great decision, there's no doubt about it. I thought the way, like, try to be a bit even,
yeah,
somewhat, even though I wouldn't be that way inclined a lot of the time, but definitely disappointed with the decision because I think it's quite clear that the ball is in gets a good solid touch on the ball. The only thing I could probably, and I haven't seen any evidence of it, so I'm just like assuming that the ref might have thought that he got more of the man first or something, like had to go through the man to get the ball.
A couple of people, the only thing, maybe there was his knee or his foot that he caught the, that wasn't the hand, that maybe he's touched his knee or his foot or something, but I can't see any evidence of that. I think the clear evidence is the lack of reaction from the Waterford players. Nobody appealed for that. So, again, this is Neil Doyle. This is one of our so-called top officials that's had that moment. So it's not good. A couple of weeks ago, I thought we had an interesting chat on the pod about refereeing standards. We did point out that Paul O'Brady has since been appointed as the head of refereeing, and we're hoping that we might get a chance to chat through on the show. That's not going to happen for the foreseeable. But we did have a discussion about how do we improve the standard of officiating in this league. And we put that exact tweet out again last night and it got a lot of reaction. I'm just going to read out a couple of these. Fintan Kiernan, encouraging ex-players to become refs. Funding is key. Not sure how or where the money comes from, but they need to be paid and held accountable for their mistakes. Dinosaur Boy says, pay the refs full time, get them better training. Dylan says there needs to be consequences when a referee is constantly poor. The issue is we haven't a proper tier to promote or demote referees. Stephen, another man shouting here that we need ex-players to become referees. Owen Campbell says, import referees from another country and make them full-time. There was a couple of people saying that. One or two people saying bring VAR in some form, but I don't think that's an overly popular consensus. But
not feasible either.
A couple of comments there saying encourage ex-players to become referees, and that's something that I did put forward when we had that discussion a couple of weeks ago.
Wait, so sorry, that last part again?
That's something I put forward a couple of weeks ago when me and you were having this discussion. I think there needs to be an emphasis put on trying to get more former players to take up refereeing. A lot of them go into coaching. Very few, if any, go into refereeing.
Yeah, I think... and I actually thought about that after, because I thought it was a very interesting idea, and I think it is a good one. I think, though, it might be difficult for players to be like, you know, if you're there knocking around, banging up the boots at 35 or something like that, you're after spending probably 25 years of your life in a team environment with players and lads and managers and coaches.
Yeah, I suppose it's not like England where you could have been a former player in the seventh tier of English football. And then you retire and you can work your way into the EFL. That is a good point. It's a very small league. If Chris Forrester, for example, hangs up the boots tomorrow and decides I'm going to pick up the whistle, he's come across an awful bunch of lads in the last 15 years or whatever. Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. Very fair.
Yeah, because, you know, next thing you know, he's like, oh, I remember, you know, Cian Levy is still knocking around in 10 years. And, you know, I'm not saying that Chris Forrester would give a dodgy penalty or anything like that as if he was a... if he was a ref. Now he would be doing a lot of pointing, though. But it's just more like even the separation.
It's a very valid point, because even if you had a lad that played Leinster senior, he's going to know. You know, everyone knows everyone in this country. At the end of the day, he's going to know someone's family. That is a fair point. I suppose the other point that's been put forward a good bit there by people that have replied to us is to make the referees full time. And again, I do believe that's the only way we're going to improve the standard of officiating in the league.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think the difficulty with that is it's just the financial outlay. You know, you'd need... It's just so many people that you would need.
Well, I wonder, would, let's say, the clubs to qualify for Europe, would they be willing to put a small cut of the money aside for that? No.
Like, look, obviously, I'm...
Because Kevin Doherty made a great point. We'll come to Kevin Doherty in a second because he got sent off, but he made the point, you know, this is points, this is European places, this is relegation, this is league titles that have been affected by decisions like that. So
yeah, but
if you said to a club that's taking in $1 million in prize money there, oh, look, give us 1% of that and we'll pay the rest full time.
Yeah, but look, everybody wants what everybody, you know, I won't pay for it. Someone else will pay for it. That's the salute. That's, you know, I know we don't talk about politics on this podcast, but like that seems to be a solution for most of the stuff that's been talked about in this country at the minute. Kevin Doherty is 1,000,000% wrong to be going, oh, we get a cut of that money because...
No, he didn't say that. That's me saying that.
Oh, sorry. Apologies. Sorry,
I'm Kevin. Just saying that he said...
Well, you're 1,000,000% wrong. Go on.
I was just saying that he said that these types of decisions can affect a league title, a European decide who's relegated, who's not relegated.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of money on the line.
Yeah, and Kevin, you're at the game a long time, lad. It's been like that since God was a gossin. Do you know what I mean? Ireland didn't go to the World Cup in 2010 because of a handball.
Well, he also made the point the league is improving and the officiating standards are not. We can see that before our eyes every week. So we need to get the standards up. How are we going to do it?
The league is improving, but like, you know, that's down to a lot of people doing a lot of good work, a lot of it for nothing. A lot of it for nothing, as you know.
Yeah.
So everybody's doing, but you have to, we're at the early stages of the improvement process. That's it, you know, the glow up of the league, right? This is a process that is going to take time, and unfortunately, the results and the financial rewards are not going to be there that quick. So
the process in terms of trying to improve the standard of refereeing, again, I don't want to cover the old ground from a couple of weeks ago, but for me, again, people there are saying a running theme there in some of the comments is there's no consequences for the referees. The reason that there appears to be a lack of consequences at the time is because we simply do not have the pool of referees to be saying to the likes of Neil Doyle after night, right, you're gone for a month, lad. We don't have the resources to do that because we haven't got enough referees coming through. I've made the point, why refereeing courses, make them free across the country. Actually run stories of, with some of your top refs that have officiated in Europe and international games, and sell the story of why it's good to be a ref. Because all we ever hear is why it's bad to be a ref, that you're going to get abused and you're going to get this and that. Try and make it an attractive alternative, as I said, to not everyone has to go down the coaching route when they decide to retire or try to live in the game.
I get that point, right? And I'm on board with that. I think that there is a reality that we just don't have enough refs at the required level to be like, you know, Paddy, Jesus lad, you made a bollocks of that game.
Yeah.
You need to go on a holiday for a week or a month or not do games for 2 weeks. Unfortunately, that's just, we're not in that space yet. You know, for all the improvements in the league that have been going on in the last couple of years, you know, we haven't seen anything in relation to stadiums of any description. Bar Derry and Rovers, what other major improvements have been done in a ground in this country? Nothing.
Nothing jumps off the top of my head anyway.
No, but we probably have 10 more models of grounds that we're not going to do in the next, you know, 20 to 30 years. So, like, we can all talk about the improvements, but you can't in the league as a whole. And I'm going to commend lots of volunteers, lots of staff employed by clubs that are probably doing three jobs themselves. We've seen it up and down the country. We know who these people are. And then we have players that are performing better, taking care of themselves better, training harder, training better, new coaches and all of that. All of these things are coming into the league and it's great. We have definitely a better product. But we can't just pick and choose. Well, this also needs to improve. The thing has to be brought along together.
Yeah, but stadiums are a massive undertaking. How much would it cost to make the officials full-time? It surely wouldn't be earth-shattering.
Well, like if you take into account there's 10 games of a Friday, that's four officials so we have 40 people on the payroll. Like I don't know what that would be, but let's say 40 grand a year, which is going to cost, you know, PRSI holidays, you know, that's probably going to cost in the region of 50 grand a year. 40 people, and then spares. You know, so you probably need 50. You want to hire 50 people on a full-time wage? You know, add that up. Like that's a lot of coinage that's going around.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay for, you know, expenses, which has already been paid for. But like expenses, a lad to go, you know, sit in a room in Timbuktu and look at another ref. Oh, well done, lad. Drink tea for 3 days in a hotel somewhere and then come back and be like, yeah, I learned a lot. Great. And then do the same mistake the following Friday. So, like, I'm just saying, it's not that handy. We were about, just the last point. Okay, last point. We saw a couple of weeks ago from Sligo's AGM that it costs in around 3 million for Sligo to operate a year.
Mm-hmm.
The money is going to have to come from the clubs. So, like, you know, is there still the association fee for the league every year, or is that gone?
Not sure on that.
Because it was gone for a couple of years during COVID that time, but yeah. I don't know if that was reinstated. But like, that's what we're looking at here. Like 20 clubs to pay 50 lads a full-time wage.
Mm.
There's a lot of gathering that. And we're not next or near that. And if you do want to go down that road, what are you going to take? Where's that money going to come from? Improvements to stadiums, improvements to this or that or the other. Just last, you know, in the last 6 or 9 months, whenever that announcement was made, we're delighted to get the 3 million for the academy directorships. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the level of money support that we're getting. It's just not going to be feasible to do that. I think we have to continue down the route that we're going down at the moment, but with maybe better training, better other stuff, and then FAI have made a good step in hiring.
I wonder, could you even just the Premier Division, make the officials in the Premier Division full time? But look, no, I appreciate you've made some very, very valid points there. And thanks to everyone that got involved with that discussion on our X account. Right, let's look back at some of the games. We'll actually just start very quickly with that game last night. Aside from the controversy of it, it's obviously a huge win for Waterford, their first of the season. And I wouldn't say an instant response under their new manager, but a fairly quick one. They got the draw against Derry the other night. They get a win here. So, yeah, good start for their new boss.
Yeah, but look, it was absolutely huge. They needed... It needed to turn at some point, and they managed to do it. Like, if you want to take the two games into the one kind of conversation, like, they'd be absolutely kicking themselves from Friday. Derry, I don't, is there much point talking about Derry at
not
all?
Really. No.
Another
same old yarn.
Same old shite, like, yeah. So, from a Waterford perspective, to concede the goal in the very last minute is obviously a right kick in the face, but it was a gut punch, to say the least. But it does show that, like, there is ability in that Waterford team. Like, we know that. And I suppose a conversation that we were having constantly was, you know, they have men that can score. You know, they have a potent enough attacking line. They're just not getting the ball. They're not creating the chances. Probably not being clinical enough as well. So to see that, you know, they scored four goals in the last couple of days. Probably a bit of turning. Obviously, there's a lot of turning to be done for Waterford to get out of the hole that they're in. But at the same time, they can only chip away at it. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to be, Waterford are plowing up the table.
Certainly 6 points looks a lot healthier than the nine it was, and even only nine behind Drogheda now. So something to weigh, man. Look, it's good. I think it's good news for the league, because none of us wanted a one team cut adrift there at the bottom. So as unsavoury as the way the result may have came last night, I think it was probably welcome at the same time that Waterford have finally got the monkey off their back, and they've got that first win of the season. I suppose the big story, really, the two big stories of Friday night, and I watched a good bit of the game over in Spain, was the Dundalk's win against Shamrock Rovers. And obviously, we also saw Pats beaten by Shells. We just said it's the same old yarn with Derry there, you know, needing a late goal to get a point away to Waterford. It's the same old yarn with everyone else in terms of title races, isn't it? We saw in recent years with Derry, anytime Rovers drop points, Derry drop points, Rovers are beaten in Oriel. Pats are beaten at home by Shells. Doesn't give you much hope, does it, for the rest of the season?
To a degree, like, I think there's probably a bit more parity with Pats. I think from the title race that you mentioned, Shelburne and Derry, you know, Derry were filling the togs on a regular basis, and so were Shells in that season. Like, it was... No one wanted to win it, do you know what I mean?
But last year and in recent years, when Rovers have dropped points, the teams chasing them have dropped points, and that's what Pats seem to be doing this season again as well.
Yeah, no, they don't get the pressure on, and that's you know, very concerning. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's not like Shelburne winning away from home. That's all. They still haven't a win on the board at in Talca Park yet. So it's probably not surprising that they managed to dig one out here. And look, was it going to be a tight game anyway? Do you know what I mean? For Pats,
they were deserving winners, though. They were the better team.
Yeah, Pats, they were. Yeah.
Pats were very poor on the night. As for Dundalk,
and it was a good finish from Daniel Kelly.
He loves scoring against Pats. I guarantee you, if I was to look it up on Transfer Market now, it's the team he scored the most goals against.
Oh, okay.
Even as a Dundalk player, he always scored against Pats.
Right, okay, well... because I was surprised to see his name on the score sheet, but you know, that happens. Good result for Shelburne, no doubt about it. But yeah, Pat's losing the, you know, it would have been great to get 3 points on the board, keep themselves right on top of Shamrock Rovers, and would have made the top of the table a bit nicer for the neutral. Although, probably not literally to say they want to see none of them win it.
I don't think on paper, I think at their best, there's not much between that Pats and Rovers team, but I just think Pats are more culpable of results like that than Rovers are. Rovers will probably go on a run of 3 or 4 wins now again after losing to Dundalk.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But also, like, Rovers have probably a better squad and bench to dig themselves out of shit as well. So, look, it's always going to be hard to knock Rovers off the perch. Like, you know, they're at a very long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going to be just that handy to sneak in and win.
What did you think of the Dundalk Rovers result in the game? I don't know if you've seen much of it.
Didn't see a pile of it.
Some goal.
Yeah, obviously that was probably the goal of the weekend, really. Wonderful strike. Such confidence to take it on.
I know you're going to go on a rant later again about Longford Town not pulling the trigger, but this Dundalk team, never afraid to shoot. Wilson scored a couple of crackers this season like that. Bobby Burns last week against Bowes almost scored a belter. Durbin scored a great goal, and he almost scored one earlier in that game as well. They're not afraid to shoot from range, Dundalk, and they've got some very good technical players and some good ball strikers. And yeah, it was just a great goal to see.
No, it was a great goal to see. But like, I think one of the things, and I think I talked about it before with Dundalk, their intensity.
Yeah,
you know, I think I don't know who was. Did Adarvin like run nearly 14 kilometers the other night?
Well, I didn't say that, but I was just going to say when you talk.
Someone about told me that.
I wouldn't disbelieve it, yeah. But I was just going to say that when you think of Dundalk's intensity, the man that's to the fore there is Adarvin. He was brilliant in that game against Bowes last week, and he got man of the match on Friday against Shamrock Rovers. He was sensational. He was out of the team for a little while. I think that might have put the bit between his teeth, and he's putting in some huge performances there for Dundalk at the moment.
Yeah, there's no question about it, and he deservedly got mad at the match. I know I did catch the last few minutes of it, and Endemann Oak made 3 or 4 sensational saves.
He did, yeah.
And the boys in the commentary were saying, oh, shite, we should have held on to it for a bit longer. But it was fully deserving of the man of the match award on the night. He covered
just,
a lot
just
of
on them saves, though, from Endemann Ogan, and I was delighted for him because it's been a struggle. He went in there from at loan last year, and you know, it was his big chance. And he picked up a couple of injuries earlier in the season, and then he struggled for form off the back of that. And obviously, Conor Kearns came in at the start of this year, and you're looking at Endon, you're thinking, is he even going to get a place on the bench? And I think when Conor Kearns picked up the injury, Peter Cherry initially went in. But Endemann Ogan was still struggling with a small knock at the time. And Kieran Kilduff has said time after time, he's got faith in him, and he's put him in there. And he's made some massive saves in the last few weeks for them. But Rovers, that late flurry, obviously, they had the chances there to get something out of the game. But I would have been disappointed with Rovers earlier in the game, up until that point. They had a lot of the football, but it didn't really. There was one chance where Aaron Green got in and kind of pulled it wide, but they didn't really create a massive amount of chances until that late flurry. So I would have been disappointed with Rovers from that point of view.
Yeah, but I think, yes, you would be disappointed with Rovers, but like, you can see the intensity and the work that was being done by Dundalk to stop them.
Mm.
You know, that has to be, I would look more on Dundalk preventing Rovers from those chances rather than Rovers had an off night. I would be more inclined to compliment Dundalk here, to be honest.
Yeah, particularly when you look at their back line the other night, there was no Harvey Warren was the only natural centre back, because obviously who were they without? They're without Cornwall,
Leonard,
Mayoa, they're without Leonard. So they had Bobby Burns, Wilson, Warren, and the other Wilson. I think McDade was playing full back as well. That was their back five. So they only had one natural centre-back among all of that. So to get a clean sheet against the champions, I know Endemann Ogan played a massive part in that, obviously, but as you said, their work rate, aside from Durbin, what a Ruby did from the front, constantly hassling and harrying. Yeah. It was very, very impressive.
And like, you know, I'm glad to hear, because like, as I said, I didn't watch all of the game, but the last 15 after the other game, whatever I was watching, finished, and it was good to see, because Arubi was mentioned as well on commentary, and there's a mistake always in that back line for Rovers.
Yeah.
As we know, like, Cleary could easily put his foot through your face as boot the ball And it's the same with a lot of them. So to be hassling and harrying, you can get a lot of, you know, you can get a lot of meat off that. And it should be noted that, you know, for other teams that like there isn't plenty of mistakes in the back line for Rovers that, man, as I've mentioned before, they don't get a lot of punishment. So yeah, no, good work for Dundalk. It was a great performance and it was a deserved win.
And of course, we've got the Louth derby coming up on Friday without Tyreek Wilson now as well, though, because he got a second yellow. Did you see that tackle?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
correct decision.
Yeah,
I think it was kind of the scissors motions what done him there. That's what the ref wouldn't have looked on too kindly. But that's another player they'll be without now. But yeah, bad weekend for Drogheda. Aside from that controversial defeat at the RSC last night, they were beaten by Bowes on Friday, and after going, what, 9 without a win, it's back-to-back wins for Bowes.
Yeah, strange. Well, not strange, but like...
Why do you hate Bowes, Gary?
well, I do hear about that all the time. Yeah, look, it was still a good, very good result, good weekend for Bowes. It would have been a difficult... good week, I should say, beating Dundalk and then following that up at home in against Drogheda. Gone so long without one, they needed it. And look, it puts them back into third, 3 points ahead of Dundalk. Must say, I really enjoyed the goal from Dale Rooney, the opening goal on Friday. It was a really nice finish, and you know, the mountain that's in front of the goal didn't help, but the keeper, but really sweet finish, really nicely struck. And decent, great. Well, look, important result for Bowes, but they did create a lot of chances as well. It's on the highlights, actually. I think in the first couple of minutes, I think my mate Douglas James Taylor could have pulled it back. He got by the keeper, could have pulled it back, but ended up pitting the side netting. He hasn't scored for a while though, so I can maybe see why he wanted to try and nick it in. But yeah, great result for Bowes, there's no doubt about it, and they definitely need it. You know, back-to-back wins is nice because they haven't done it in a while.
And the Connacht derby, that was some story on Saturday night. Sligo Rovers 1, Galway 4. Galway were just extremely efficient and ruthless, but I'm not sure it was a 4-1 game. But I mean, Galway United, I said this recently, if you said to them you were going to score 4 in several games this season, you know, the win against Waterford.
Yeah.
They've been involved in a few high-scoring games. It was a very un-Galway-like result, but obviously a massive win for them against their Connacht rivals.
Yeah, no, it was huge. They needed it. You know, you don't like, and not necessarily that they needed it. They're in and around that cut though of being dragged into a relegation situation. So, you know, like they were a point ahead of Rovers before a ball was kicked. Now I know they have that game in hand, the one that was called off earlier on in the season against Shells, I think it was. So they still have that to play, but like, you know, everybody looks at, oh, game in hand, that's 3 points. Not the case at all. So excuse me. I think you're right in saying that it probably wasn't a 4-1 result, but you know, for a team down the bottom in Sligo, it's not terribly surprising that they're going to ship a few goals now and again. But yeah, what did you make of the penalty?
Oh, that was an absolutely shocking decision.
Mm.
The lad just fell over.
Yeah.
Yeah. He left the first touch, left the ball behind him and he just falls over.
Yeah, he does well to break. Yeah. Yeah, terrible decision.
Terrible.
That's probably a worse decision than what we saw last night in Waterford.
And that is, I'm just looking here, that was Aaron O'Dowd, who I would have been very critical of on last week's show for his performance in the Dundalk Bowes game. So you can see why listeners are getting in touch there, you know, with the feeling that these referees aren't being punished for poor performances.
Yeah, but look, no matter what way you slice it, it's not as if like, all right, we'll just get another batch of 20 referees.
Yeah, no, as I said, it's the pool's too small and that's just the reality.
Pool's too small,
you can see why fans are getting annoyed at the same time and managers as well.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Keohane scored the...
he scored a lovely goal, Jimmy Keohane, yeah.
The free kick, I'd be very disappointed with the keeper there, right down his throat, should have stopped it.
Lovely player, though. I've always liked Jimmy Keohane. And another goal for Twardock as well. What a season he's having. He got an assist for the Lombotto goal as well.
Yeah, no, he's having a great season, and he's chipped in with a few important goals. I think because he might have one or two winners this season already as well. So,
yeah,
you know, fair play to him coming back into the league. Does really well, and you know, he's converting, which is important. Like Galway, they scored 23 goals this season, which is not too far off average, I'd say, but. Obviously, four goals there the other night has definitely helped that so far this season. But Twardock has chipped in very well this season, and he's been a good signing so far.
Meanwhile, down in the first division over the course of the weekend, you filled in for me on LOI TV while I was away at gallivanting. You were on comms with Lyle for Longford against Cork City. I didn't see a whole pile of this. I've obviously watched the highlights back. Thought you did well, lads. Fair play, but. The game looked like it was over as a contest once Sultan Adenikin got sent off after what 15-16 minutes.
Look, just a poor decision by Sultan. The ball was there, and he was probably
fooled by the heavy touch, wasn't he? He was just an inexperience, a youthful mistake.
Probably the right way to describe it. I think. Yeah, if he was a half a yard quicker or a half a yard closer, he would have got the ball and that would have been it. I think there was probably, excuse me, maybe from a Longford perspective, there might have been a game plan to, like, you know, if we can turn the ball over high up,
yeah,
that'll be one of the opportunities for Longford to get on the scoreboard. But yeah, look, it definitely changed the game. Longford worked extremely hard and diligently to keep Cork out, and obviously had to totally rejig the game from after the sending off, which was obviously not ideal. So first goal goes in from a corner. Longford have conceded a few goals from corners this year.
That's something they need to tighten up on. Yeah,
yeah, something that's been kind of creeping in, and then. Yeah, Longford had probably the best work chance of the game, I would say. There was some Andy Parrish of breakthrough, ghost by two Cork defenders, pass it across to Fred Manuel. He decides to not take the shot in front of goal, pass it out to Dean Williams. Probably the wrong decision.
Even Parrish, if I thought, he's beaten two men, he's inside the box, he's no more than 8 or 9 yards out. Why is he not just having a shot there?
Yeah,
the pass to Farrell was slightly behind him. I wouldn't be overly critical of Farrell for not taking the shot there. And then, to be fair, by the time it reaches Williams does strike it well, and it's just a good block. But it is part of that theme that you've brought up a few times. Like, we've seen this. I've actually seen worse occasions of that this season, worse instances of that. I can't remember what game it was particularly, but there was the one where was it Dara Murta was literally bearing in, looking at the white of the eyes of the goalkeeper, and he tried to square it to somebody, maybe Dean Williams.
Yeah, no, it was to Parrish if it was against Bray.
Yeah, so
he was like, what?
Yeah,
couldn't believe it.
We've seen that two or three times, but that wasn't the worst incident of it I've seen. But it's something that for some reason has crept into Longford's game. It's like they're trying to score a PlayStation goal. They're, no offense, lads, but they're not good enough to be at that. They need to be just taking their chances when they come. So they really need to knock out with themselves on the training ground and quick.
Yeah, honestly, because like it's just frustrating because like there is a lot of good work being done. They are getting into some of the positions that they need to get into. And like, you know, an extra pass, like on one hand, you know, the extra pass is you know, a teammate is in a better position, but also it's another opportunity for a defender to get across and make that block, get in your face, you know, mess up the shooting. So,
well, even I feel like if you get a shot away and keeper saves or it's blocked off the line, it builds a little bit of something within the ground. Whereas if you just pass the ball around and nothing really happens, it just kind of brings frustration. You don't build any kind of momentum or pressure. So Get the shots away, work the keeper. That's the basics of the game.
Yeah, no, that's it. Like, and even like I thought, like Rory Keaton came on. I know, I think he's only like scored one or two goals this season. He came on and he was played in through right onto Cian Moore, who had a good game.
He did. He made some good saves. Yeah.
But like, even like Rory Keaton, he just drove it straight at the keeper. You know, terrible finish. Mm. And then there's a shot that's deflected, tipped onto the crossbar by Moore, comes down, and Keating drives it nearly out of the stadium. So, like, you know, I know it's not handy, like, especially for an experienced player like Rory Keating. I know it's not handy, but, like, you know, boys, just please shoot way more. And when you're shooting, maybe imagine yourself, imagine the ball going into the back of it, and you know, you might put an extra 10% power into it or something like that, because yeah, like Longford are getting into positions, and as we've seen, we're, you know, teams aren't going to get a bag of chances against Cork, you know what I mean? Like Kerry, for example, they got a 1-0 win at home to Cork. They scored a goal, I think it was like in the 10th minute. They took their chance and then were able to hold on to something. Longford Town did create a couple of chances, didn't have enough of a shot on goal, which is disappointing. So but yeah, like I'd say, if, like, it's not, you know, I wasn't crying after this loss.
Yeah, but from speaking to a good few people that were at the game and watched it, watched a lot more of it than me, a lot of people were very disappointed with Cork City. I know it's difficult when an opposition team gets a man sent off early and they sit deep, as Longford probably did, and as you said, they worked very hard to be disruptive. Yeah. But come on, this is a full time team, and
the one thing I would say to that is I was Fitzpatrick out on the left for Cork. I think he was hooked at half time. I'd say you with your bad knee would have been able to defend against him.
Two bad knees.
Yeah, he was out on the left. He had no left foot. So you could give him a couple of yards of a head start, and you knew that he was coming back in on top of you anyway. Do you know what I mean? He was very predictable. And I think that was, you know, Cork did not get any joy down that side until he was taken off. One criticism I would have is a lack of intensity. I thought the Cork manager was going mental on the sideline a lot. But I thought some of the passing was extremely poor. Like, I mean, really bad.
Mm.
Especially when there was not major pressure. So I'm talking about the passing out of the back four, what was dire at times. Like, I think Kelleher must have booted it out for a throw-in maybe five or six times or more throughout the game. That's entirely unacceptable when there's no one on you. Do you know what I mean? Like Dean Williams had to really retract back into the midfield to make up the space. And yeah, there was just a lot of that throughout the evening. But I think they have enough to turn it on a regular basis to dig themselves out of any hole. So, yeah.
Well, a bit like what we discussed with Rovers and Pats. At times when Cork have dropped points, the teams around them haven't put enough pressure on. We saw UCD surprisingly beaten at home by Bray Wanderers by four goals to three. Funny enough, and it was great to see when I went into an Irish pub on Friday to watch the Dundalk game, and I walked in and there was loads of people with phones out watching different League of Ireland games while Liverpool and Villa was on the TV in the pub. But like, there was so many League of Ireland fans watching different games. It just goes to show what a great service LOI TV, and I think it has really helped improve people's enjoyment and connection in the league and get new people involved, because even people that aren't maybe necessarily fans are kind of looking in at the games and asking who's playing, and they know what's going on. Like most people you speak to the Ireland trips, they know what's happening in the league, they know the players that everyone's talking about, so it's great. But there was a couple of UCD fans actually watching the game against Bray across from me, and they were going absolutely buck mental. They couldn't believe they were losing to Bray. Got chatting to one of them, nice fella, I think his dad was heavily involved with UCD, so that's how he got involved. But yeah, they weren't impressed at all with the performance against Bray. But I know we've got an email we're going to read out later from a Bray Wanderers fan, because we've been talking a lot about Bray and their manager on recent pods, and he's got an alternative point of view. But this was another great result for Bray to take some of that that so-called pressure off the manager.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I couldn't believe it as the goals were rolling in. Like, Jeannie Mack, like, what's going on here? How did we get into that situation with, you know, four goals conceded? You know, and I like, it was a bit of a comedy of errors. Like, you know, Bray just really pressed and finished well throughout the game. Like they were putting a lot of pressure on the back four and on the keeper. There's a couple of really poor defending at times, particularly the second goal. I thought, like, it was just a throw in. I can't remember even who scored, but like, if you look back at it, one little touch over two defenders straight on goal and finishes it in off the post. And that was Bray 2-0 within 10 minutes. Like, and like, no matter who you are, you're going to be like, oh, shite, like, what's going on here? How am I going to get out of this mess? But then, to be fair, UCD did get a penalty a few minutes later. So it was, a goal was recovered quite quickly, and you think, okay, maybe we've a bit of a game on now. But Bray went on and got the third goal, did very well. It was a bit of a scramble in from a corner, but doesn't really matter. Bray won't really care. It was a great result for them, and surprising for UCD to concede four in a game at all.
Yeah, and look, I suppose it was a surprising night across the board, really. Kerry beating Wexford, Treaty United absolutely hammering Finn Harps, was the only ones that really went to form, were Cove beating Athlone and Cork City beating Longford.
Yeah, that's true. I was kind of, I'm not sure if I was 100% surprised with the result in Kerry, based on what I'd seen from Wexford the previous week.
Yeah, they do have, we've said it before, they do have that result and performance in them from time to time.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but like, I didn't really see, I watched some of the game. A really good strike, I think it was from Jake Doyle, that got the goal right into the top corner, drove it in there. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that, I'm going off memory, I can't remember who it was 100%, but a really good finish. And then the Kerry just came back into it, and Kelleher got a really good goal. That kind of seemed to be like, if any of our listeners haven't seen it, if you just look back at it, it was kind of like a goal that was crept in from like on the right hand side of the box as you're looking at it. And I was like, how did that happen? It seemed to be like go by a lot of people, and it just crept in the far side. So yeah, great result for Kerry. Was an important result for them, but a disappointing one for Wexford, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
What about Treaty 3-0? Huh.
Yes. Maybe not the most surprising result, but definitely the scoreline.
Yeah, they created a good few chances. They were quite clinical as well. Some of the goals were really nice. Jack Brady made a couple of good saves as well. So there was a lot of things going on that left them in a positive position, but I think a 3-0 result was definitely a surprise for me anyway. But look, they needed it, they could have done with it, and they absolutely got it. So like, yeah, they're on level points now with Kerry and with Kerry. So maybe it's not all doom and gloom for Treaty.
Okay, let's move into the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions league. Last week we were joined by Longford man Colm Jordan, and Colm, he hit the bullseye with his first two selections, Gary. He got the correct score in Bowes Drogs and Waterford Derry, went on a bit of a lean spell after that though, and only managed to get one more correct result. So that was 7 points for Colm, but that still saw him come out on top last week. It was a disappointing week for the two of us. You did get one correct scoreline, though. That was Cove Athlone, and you got a correct result. So you got 4 points. I only got the 1 point last week.
Jesus, lad.
Got the result in the Cove Athlone game and nothing else. So that leaves the league table looking like this. I am now getting detached. 62 points at the bottom. Listeners, move up to 69 points. You're still on top with 83.
Is it too early to call, is it?
Let's see who we're going to pick this week. Another great uptick for the Predictions League as ever. I'm going to try and go with someone that we haven't had on before. We've got Darren Colgavin here, who is from Roscommon, but is an Athlone Town supporter. So there you go.
Boo.
Rossi's Connacht champions recently. Westmeath Leinster champions the weekend. Great to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great time for Athlone.
Yeah, they'll be celebrating both sides of the bridge there. But yeah, see if Darren will be dancing over the bridge in Athlone now after next week when we see how these results go. We'll start with the first division games, and we're going to start with Kerry against Bray. Darren's going for a 1-0 win to the Wanderers.
Yeah, tough one this. I think it was that, well, I don't want to say famous, but like I definitely remember from last year, wasn't it? A goal scored in like the first minute or something like that, mental from the keeper.
The keeper, yeah.
And that, I think that was it. I'd be inclined to agree. I think Bray have scored a heap of goals in the past couple of weeks, a couple of good results. I'm going to go actually for a 2-0 win to Bray.
2-0 win to Bray. Am I right in saying it's been back-to-back home wins for Kerry? The win against Cork and then this?
Yes, sounds about right. Turn into a fortress down in Montauk Park, is it?
Well, it must be since, what's the minister's name? He was down there cutting the ribbon the other day, wasn't he?
Patrick O'Donovan, yeah.
Yeah, strange fish, that fella.
Yeah, well, actually, did you see the article? He has a picture of the banner. The
Rovers banner, and he's got an Oriel Park sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, strange fish.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's nearly going on as if this is his money that's going into the into these pitches and this stuff. So
I'm just looking here at the head-to-head record. It's, I suppose Kerry probably have a poor enough head-to-head record against almost everyone, but like this is particularly bad since they've come into the league. They've lost every game bar one, I think, they got a draw as well. So they've lost every game bar two against Bray. They did beat them last year at home, though. Mm-hmm. And I am right. Back to back home wins, unbeaten in four at home. Bray, that was their away win against UCD. It was their first win in six away matches. They'd lost four on the trot. So, look, first division's very volatile. This season, you know, everyone's beaten everyone. So, you could probably pick any scoreline here, and there'd be people saying, yeah, that makes sense. And then it looks silly. Bray are back scoring a few goals. This Kerry team's been leaky. I'll go for a 2-1 win to Bray.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't
want to overthink it.
Yeah.
I think there's no point in overthinking these first division games. You're really just throwing a dart at these. Wexford against UCD. I mean, again, a terrible result for Wexford last time out. UCD will be looking to bounce back. But Wexford, when they play at their best at home, they can beat most of the teams in the division. But what's your thoughts?
I would be leaning towards UCD here. Not overly impressed with Wexford in the last few weeks. UCD with two losses on the bounce. I don't see them losing this game, to be quite honest. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to UCD.
I'll go for a 2-1 win to UCD. Darren's going to go for a 2-1 win to UCD as well. Treaty against Cove. Of course, this is a repeat of one of the playoff matches last year, which Treaty came out on top in, but there was, of course, the Cove manager had stepped away and they were in a bit of chaos. But Treaty winning last time out, a rare win against Harps, scoring three as well, Cove. They got the job done against Athlone. It's a Munster derby. Plenty to consider. What way are you going?
I think this is...
Is it a bridge too far for Treaty?
No. No, I don't think so. They'll have to be very sound at the back, though.
Mm. Well, look, clean sheet last time, so that'll do... Do confidence the world. Yeah, look, this Cove team, they're not the team they were last year. Treaty.
Very hit and miss, yeah.
You can get a point out of this. So I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, I was going to go 2-2.
Okay, Darren's going for a 1-0 win to Treaty. Athlone Town against Cork City.
Big one here.
From what you've seen against Cork the other night, they wouldn't be totally impenetrable, would they?
No, they're not impenetrable, but they do have just an extra level of quality. I would be inclined to say that they will do a job on Athlone. I don't think, I'd have more confidence in Cork, which isn't exactly a massive
no,
statement.
No, but if I woke up now Saturday morning and missed these games and I woke up and checked my phone and I see Athlone beat Cork, I wouldn't be absolutely flabbergasted. I think you're right, that bit of quality.
Well, one thing I did notice, like, Longford Town were very, like, it took a set piece for Cork to break the deadlock.
Yeah.
There was a time Seanie Maguire was running, was at the halfway line, getting a 4-yard pass off Kelleher. That's how defensively well set up Longford Town were with 10 men.
I would think of Longford as being defensively stronger than Athlone this season, but Athlone have only conceded 3 or more goals, so they're doing really well. Athlone, they're actually not scoring that many. So I'm going to stick with a 1-0 win to Cork here, but I wouldn't be massively surprised if Athlone did get something out of the game.
No, but I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to go for 1-0 2-0 win to Cork.
Okay, Darren is along the same line of thinking as me. He thinks Athlone can get something out of the game. He's going to go 1-1 there. And then we've got Finn Harps against Longford Town. From a Longford perspective, you said it, that they worked extremely, extremely hard after they went down to 10 very early in the game. Would you be concerned about how much that might have taken out of the legs ahead of going up to Ballybuffet on Friday?
I wouldn't at all, because I know there was a big job on and every player stood up to it. There's no question about that. I do want to highlight one player that I was very impressed with, Jake Howe for Longford. Mm-hmm. He was extremely good all night. I know he had a difficult night. Was it the winger for Harps that we knew, the 1-0 loss for Longford Town? Do you remember what's his name?
Yeah, I'll get his name now in a second.
Is it Lemang? I just can't remember his name, but he was caused a lot of trouble all night for Longford. I wouldn't be concerned about the effort that had to be put in. Obviously, Longford Town will be without Adenikin, who's had a really great run of games. Obviously, he came in because Sean Moore was sent off for Longford. So I'd say, but it's good from a Longford perspective. They have a very able replacement in Sean Moore to come in there. So that's obviously great. Sorry, what were we going to say?
Lamingo.
Yeah. Good man. So, yeah, like, I think I'd be very hopeful for Longford Town. They had a good couple of performances up there last season. They nearly won the game. If you remember last year, it was a last minute win, an equaliser for Harps in the game that we were at up there last year, if you remember.
Yeah.
Longford can definitely get something out of the game. I'm going to go 2-1 to the Town.
And obviously, Harps are coming into this off the back of a really, really bad result against Treaty. In terms of Harps' home form, though, they've picked up 12 points at home this season, and they've only got 5 on the road, so they're much stronger. Longford, of course, did win their most recent away game, that trip down to Wexford, so that'll give them a bit of confidence. I think this will probably be a draw. I would be concerned about how much that took out of the Longford legs the other night. I don't think they're... I'm feeling their record against Harps down recent years is probably not great, is it?
No, it's not. I'm not 100%
always
sure.
Always seems to be a bogey team.
Yeah, always seems to be difficult. I'm going to say...
Jesus, it's not good at all. But just having a look here, Longford's last win was 2023, 1-0 in Ballybuffet. Can you remember who scored the goal?
1-0 in 2023.
August 23, yeah. We scored early in the game, so I remember it now. I wasn't at it, but I was watching it on LOI TV.
You're not at it. 2023. No. Oh, I do remember it. Bennett, O'Brien, Whitmarsh and Magerson linked up, and I think it was Magerson that scored, was it?
Great, great, great shout. You're absolutely bang on there. Right, that's
remember well. Sorry, and that was that was a lovely finish from outside the box, right into the corner, done the keeper. Yeah, so yeah, I remember
that. Did you give me your scoreline there?
Yeah, I said 2-1 to the Town.
Okay, I'm going to follow Darren and go 2-2 on this one.
Fair enough.
Into the Premier Division, we've got Galway against Bohemians.
Oof. Tricky one here because, like, you know, no matter what, we could have scored 4 goals last time out away from home. I know it was against a team under pressure in Sligo, but yeah.
Patrick Hickey Derby hopefully keeps his hands down this time.
But he scored against them earlier on this season. Got a good header. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Bows from barely conceding a goal at the start of the season, not keeping many clean sheets now. Galway were very efficient the other night, as we said, but
yeah,
Sligo did actually create chances, but Bows are the sort of team create a lot of chances and don't take them too, so I think Galway gets something out of the game. You've gone 2-2, have you?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, it could be sort of a game like that. I'll follow you 2-2. Darren going for a draw as well. He's going 1-1. We've got Derry City against St. Pat's.
Oh. Is this game taking place in
Celtic Park? Yeah, so the pitch is going to be a feature there, unfortunately.
Which is probably impact Pat's a bit more than Derry. They're not playing at and approaching football. I think Pat's can get at these, run at them with Levy running, doing all the running that he's at.
Hard to dribble on that pitch, though.
True.
Don't want to keep banging on about it, but...
What are you thinking here?
This will be a dire game of football. Pat's will have to, they'll have to go up there and sacrifice their principles and mix it up a bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you got the likes of Edmondson there. If you can send a few long balls up to him, he'll definitely cause problems.
He would.
I go 1-0 Pats.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Someone to score a banger from range, Forrester or something. You're going 1-1. Darren going for 2-1 with the Pats. So again, that's another week on the pod where between the three of us, no one going for a Derry win. You just really wonder what it's going to take there for a bit of change. Shelburne against Waterford. Can they finally get that first home win of the season, the Reds?
Yeah, well, they're playing them at the right wrong time after registering their first win of the season. As you said, it throws a nice face on the table. A nicer face on the table. Obviously, they're rock bottom, but good to be, you know, good to get on the scoreboard at all. I think surely you'd have to look at, you know, Shelburne having won a game at home all season. Now they're bottom of the home form table. Because even Waterford have more points than them at home. I'd say something has to give here. I think Shelburne will just have to get it together, really. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Shelburne.
My concern with Shells here wouldn't actually be the home form. It would be the fact that they've been so leaky this season, and Waterford now are showing the ability to score goals with the new manager going in there. Better performances from the likes of Tommy Lonergan. But Shells did get a clean sheet against Pats last time, so maybe they're starting to get a grip to things. It kind of has to be now or never, really, for Shells.
Yeah, I think so.
Or they may start refunding on season tickets or something. Do you know what? I'm not. I'm going to go for another high score and draw. I'll go 2-2.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Just to give Darren's prediction there, he's going for a 3-1 win to Shells, so he does think they'll get the first home win of the season. We've got the Loud Derby coming up on Friday between Drogheda and Dundalk. Hopefully this one passes off without too much incident.
Well, look, we don't have a plastic pitch to concern ourselves with. Yeah, I think, you know, this is obviously a great, I think it'll be a very good game. I think the sense of injustice for Drogheda there last night would be inspiring a bit.
I think the opposite. I think it'll be I think this will be a classic derby. I think there's going to be some absolutely crunching tackles going in.
Yeah.
Raucous atmosphere, very little quality of football, I would imagine, will be played.
Yeah, no, I know that. Yeah, no, I'd be inclined to think the same. The one thing that I'd be, and I'm not saying that, I think the work that has been going on the field for Dundalk has been absolutely sensational. And it's not only that game, it's not only the game that, you know, the game last Friday against Rovers that we've seen them do that. So yeah, I'd be very, I don't want to say pro Dundalk, but like it's a derby, lots of stuff goes out the window. What are you thinking here
The one thing that would massively concern me from a Dundalk perspective here would be set pieces.
Right.
And just see Conor Keighley getting his big head on something here. Dundalk without a number of defenders we touched on. This is either going to be 0-0 or Drogheda is going to scrape it 1-0 with a set piece goal. I'm going to go 1-0 Drogheda. I know the dog don't draw blank too often, but this might be one of those games.
Right, okay. That's really why are you thinking saying that just because
I
they
just
don't
think this,
draw blank?
Yeah, I just think there'll be very little flow to this game. I think it's going to be very stop start. I think the referee will be a busy, busy man. Wouldn't be surprised if there's at least one red card in this game.
Yeah, same. Okay, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I'm going to play it safe.
Okay, Darren thinks it'll be entertaining anyway. He's going 2-2. And we've also got the Battle of the Rovers then. We've got Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers. Darren doesn't think it'll be much of a battle though. 3-0 to the hoops, he goes.
Yeah, I don't, not necessarily seeing that. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, they don't really blow teams away, do they?
No, and... You know, I think, didn't they put 4 past Drogheda? I think that was their highest scoring game this season, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's not much between Drogheda and Sligo, is there? I'd actually argue Drogheda probably is a better organised team. If I was to look at goals conceded, I wonder would I be correct on that point? I'd hope that I would be.
Mm.
No, Drogheda have conceded way more goals than Sligo. Never mind. You wouldn't think that, would you?
Why, what's the difference?
28 conceded, Drogheda, 23 Sligo.
Jenny Mac.
Yeah.
And all are blowing about Conor Keighley and the back line.
Sligo by far and away the lowest scorers in the division. I'll go for just a routine professional 2-0 win to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to go the same?
I have gone, yeah.
Oh, okay, Parvan. Darren, as I said, going 3-0 there too. Shamrock Rovers. So that was the predictions league. Right, charity bet time, Gary. I was just having a look back through our accounts today, and I think we've only got the one winning bet up between us all season long, and that was the week that we put it out to the listeners, and Julian Canny gave us the winner. So we might soon have to go down that road again. But what have you got for me this week?
Obviously,
I think they're going through them games. Jeez, it's very difficult this week.
It is. Let me see. Very, very few games. Like, even like I'll say, you could nearly just write off the derby.
Yeah.
You could probably write off. You could write off Derry and Pats really with the pitch situation as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm gonna go with Shelburne.
I was going to just say to you as well. Shelburne at home here is 1-3. That's woeful value.
That is terrible value. Yeah. Shit.
Shamrock Rovers surely a banker. 1-3 is short again, but surely that's got to be the banker of the Premier games, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll stick them in there for you. Do you want to look at First Division then?
I do. Not many bankers in here either.
Because even we said Cork wouldn't be a massive surprise if they filled the togs against Athlone.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Mack.
I think of all the games we went through in the first division, the one you seemed most confident about was UCD beating Wexford.
Mm.
But that's 8-5 your pick, so
away from home.
Flip of a coin there, according to the odds compilers.
Should I have to pick something?
Yeah, this is desperate. This is the toughest we get yet.
Yeah. Let's say.
You were fairly confident on Bray as well, and they're 11-10 to beat Kerry away.
Okay, so we'll do a treble: Shamrock Rovers, Wexford, or UCD, and Bray.
Yeah, that looks good. So I'm just going to log into your account here and see if there's any little offers available to us. No, but for a €10 stake there, 72.80 is your return. That looks good to me.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, great.
Yeah, early payout on those games as well. So if any of those teams got two up, you get paid out. Right. You made a very good point. The pitch situation in Derry is very concerning. So I am going to go under 2.5 goals in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Galway Bows, I actually think could be high scoring. I'll stay away from that though. I'll throw Shamrock Rovers in, obviously. And then I'll go over to the first division and see what I can find. Forgive me, listeners, just scrolling through the app here. Okay, first division. I'm going to throw Cork in. Might regret that.
Odds are probably garbage, aren't they?
Yeah, not good. really struggling here. I might just settle for that. Just get something in the kitty. Tenner to return 30. Yeah, I'm going to settle for that. Tenner to return 36, 67. Yeah, that'll do me. Okay, so that's this week's charity bet. Thanks to Bar One Bet for their continued support. Odds and offers for all those games can be found on the Bar One betting app. Gambling is for over 18s only. Always gamble with care. See gamblingcare.ie. Right, before we go, Gary, we've got the hotline. And we're going to start. I mentioned it towards the tail end of the show last week that if there's anyone that wants to get in contact with maybe a more longer form message and their thoughts on different subjects, they can get us via email. The email address is betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. And I'm delighted to say that Colin, who is a Bray Wanderers fan, has taken us up on this. And he's made a few points now. There is some discussion here on the Ireland-Israel game. I've replied to Colin. We will be picking that up again closer to the time, obviously. Long time. When's that game? September, is it? October?
Yeah, it's in the big window.
Yeah, or the three-game window. So, yeah. Obviously, look, there's going to be a lot of commentary in other places between now and then on that. So we will be coming back to that, no doubt. We've always said on this pod, we don't do politics. It's one of the things from day one we always said we wouldn't do. I think people like being able to tune out of politics for an hour or two and just enjoy football. So that's generally what we try to do. But obviously that is a sport matter as well. So we will be coming back to that down the line. Colin's main point was on Bray and our coverage of Bray recently. So let me just find that email. He said, hi lads. Firstly, well done on a great pod. So thanks for that, Colin. I'm generally more of a stalker on these things than a participant, but the narrative that has been spread by a couple of vocal Bray lads on here about Paul Heffernan being under pressure, this was never something at all amongst any supporters I've spoken to. So I felt I had to say something to give a more balanced view. I know the last couple of results have helped my point of view. If you can't win the league outright, and let's face it, it's Cork's all day long. It doesn't matter where you finish as long as you're in the top five. Paul has plenty of credit in the bank with most supporters after two playoff defeats in a row, despite continually losing good players annually. He's also made us very watchable again after the Devo fiasco and the solid but boring football under Cronin. As a supporter, it's really easy to fall in love with this team, to be honest. We generally dominate games playing really nice football, though I'm sure Gary will disagree for the sake of disagreeing. Some of the newer recruits have taken a bit longer than I would personally have liked to get up to speed, but they're showing signs of class now, particularly Akara. We've missed a few sitters, which hasn't helped the points total and league position. I also think he's trying to find a way to play without Billy O'Neill's threat. He's going to be a major loss, and I hope he succeeds across the pond. But 9 goals in 2 games suggest that he may have found that. We've also really missed Keane Curtis. He was brilliant towards the tail end of last season, and his ability hasn't been replaced. I have every faith in Heffo that we will end up in the playoffs again, but it's such a lottery. Whoever finishes 9th will either need to be facing a club in decline with no confidence, or be caught on the hop like the way Longford took Shells down. So can we please stop taking the word of one or two Braves supporters as the general viewpoint of the fan base, please? To be fair to us, I think we were kind of very shocked. We were very much kind of against the criticism that was coming in, and we were making those say, I made that exact point, didn't I? That it doesn't matter a shite where you finish, if it's second, third, fourth, or fifth. If you fall into the playoffs on the last day of the season, you're in with a chance of promotion. So I do think I would agree totally with Colin there that the criticism has been way over the top. But I would like to just offer that I think we've been balanced on this.
Yeah, no, I think we've been balanced, no doubt about it. But also, like, we're not brave people, so you know we just get the picture that is presented.
And we do always say that social media is the worst barometer for things, that it's not always a reflection. We always say that.
But also, like, you know, if Colin did the right thing, he got in touch and
100%. It's a great offer. Email. Fair play.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm bored with that. I think I was definitely surprised with some of the commentary around Bray. I thought it was a bit ODT, but yeah, like, stuff has gone much better in the last few weeks. So it was a very timely email there from Colin. But yeah, I think we did find it probably a bit troublesome with the idea of no Billy O'Neill. I think some of the idea was like, oh, is he minding him? Don't want to send him over in an ambulance type idea as well. Like, you know, you don't want to, deal was done and you want it to go through and everybody to be happy. But probably looking a bit too deeply into that than what was actually needed. I do agree with the point that it does seem to be the case that he has kind of cracked that code, though. Definitely in the more recent weeks with not having Billy O'Neill. So, but that was obviously something that was very much needed because he was on the way out, you know. So,
Good email.
Very good email.
Yeah, if anyone else wants to get in touch with us with stuff like that, between the stripes, 1924@gmail.com. We would be delighted to hear from you. And I did reply to Colin with some other replies to some of the other points he raised in that email. And as I said, we will be talking about some of the other things he brought up down the line as well. But I did get back in touch with Colin there. So we do really appreciate the emails that come in. Pale Rider, in reference to a couple of things Gary brought up last week, referencing the form of first division clubs and that you must win your home games. Have a look at Cove's home and away results this season.
Yeah.
Joint top of the away table, bottom of the home table. So essentially they're doing the Shells on it.
They are. It is. Excuse me. I don't know if it's surprising, but they have been quite poor at home. And it's something that I also referenced. The clean sheets wins you this league by and large. So I know, actually saying that, Cork are top and don't have a huge number of clean sheets this season. But they've been doing the business at the other end. So maybe our friend Ethan is wrong on that count.
Nathan O'Reilly, back-to-back home wins for Kerry FC. Hopefully we make it three in a row against Bray on Friday. Ryan Keller with a man of the match performance, scoring the two goals. Wexford were poor and didn't cause Kerry too many problems. We were obviously very disappointed with Ryan Keller's performance against Longford a couple of weeks ago, but we knew it was only his fifth or sixth game back. If they can obviously get him back to his 2023-2024 form, you'd like to think it can help them climb the table.
Yeah, of course, but look, that's obviously easier said than done. At the same time, you know, you want everybody to be in their best form of their lives, you know what I mean? It's just swings and roundabouts. But you know, he was out for so long, so it's obviously going to take a bit of time to get back cooking.
Yeah, Owen, who is one of the infamous Bray fans, huge win for Bray. I have to say, there was a huge number of Bray fans over in Mercia. So good to see that the fan base has grown there so much in the last few years. But anyway, huge win for Bray. Clinical first half, what we missed before the last two games. Very good at putting pressure on and forcing UCD into mistakes. Hope lessons learned from the second. Can't drop the standard against any side, no matter how poor they are, and have to respect UCD's ability. And we've got a comment from Alan here that says, has Kevin Doherty reached his ceiling with Drogheda? Bowes absolutely battered them and should have been out of sight. Puke football has been found out. Wouldn't be surprised to see Doherty leave once the top jobs become available. You're obviously someone that called Drogheda's style of play an affront to the game a couple of years ago. So I would love your thoughts on this.
Jeez, I've said a lot of stuff down through the years. And I can't believe that's the one that has like persisted to now. I think it's just a limitation of, you know, it's... Would you say that Sligo are playing puke football? Would you say Waterford are playing puke football? You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, what can you do? It's not going to... It's just not that handy. You know, they have the limitations financially. I know that might be changing, let's say, but... Yeah, I'm not really that... Like, what... Just let me finish the point as badly as I'm making it. Kevin Doherty, like, what's the barometer for success for Kevin Doherty?
I believe he has reached his ceiling with Drogheda. He's won the cup. He qualified them for Europe. They didn't get to play in Europe. He's not going to win a league at Drogheda. Therefore, there is nothing more he can achieve with Drogheda.
Right, but...
The puke football thing, I am not in agreement with it. We've had this discussion before when Vinnie Perth said it on the telly. I find, now maybe it's because I don't go and watch them every week and I only see them partially and I'm delighted to get out and watch a Premier Division game. I find Drogheda, the way they're set up, we talked about Dundalk. Now, they're not as exciting as Dundalk, but the aggression, the front-footedness, the putting everything into it to try and get the result, I find that enjoyable to watch as a football fan. Even if it's not tiki-taka. But we've talked about it here where you can go and watch Derry. Sometimes you can even go and watch Rovers. And they'll have 90% of the football. They don't do a whole pile with it. That's not...
Did I not say a few weeks ago that I'd prefer to watch a Drogheda game than a Shamrock Rovers game?
Yeah, you've said that a few times.
Yeah.
Now, that may be a bit extremist, but I get what you're saying. So I wouldn't agree with Alan's point on the puke football. I'd like to get his view there. If he believes that that's all that Kevin Doherty has put into that Drogheda team is puke football, then he says he wouldn't be surprised to see Doherty leave once one of the top jobs become available. Surely he would.
That's an endorsement of Kevin Doherty.
Yeah.
There's puke football, but there's also.
But would that style of football be accepted at a Shelburne, at a Rovers, at a Bowes? I don't think it would, but I don't believe that Kevin Doherty is a one-dimensional manager. I'm sure he can go into a dressing room, look at the players he has. He's not going to have Dawson Devoy doing the same thing as Ryan Brennan is doing. Or do you know what I mean? I'm sure he's a very adaptable man. I'm sure he will be able to go in and...
If he has better tools,
then
there's going to be better football. No, I don't subscribe to that puke football at all.
But I do subscribe to the fact I do believe that once a top job, I think he'll get a top job in the next season or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Shin it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to, I don't know if I get going to Harps, unfortunately.
No, I think I'm going to get to the Louth Derby, so that should be interesting.
Boring.
Hopefully it passes off peacefully.
Passes off peacefully. We're saying that about Derby games in the League of Ireland. Yeah, fair enough. Good pod. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Catch you next week. That was the latest episode, I think 16, I said at the top of the show. It's late, it's 12:30. That was Series 10, Episode 16 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We are brought to you by Quinn AV and by Bar One Betting. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. Make sure you subscribe or follow wherever you're listening. Get in touch with us on X as well. Good interaction there this week. Good to read out so many pods, so many contributions from listeners on the pod. And you can get us on the email address as well. But until next week, from Kieran and Gary, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between the Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.